If you have a Bible, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please? Hebrews chapter 11. There's just a little phrase from a little verse in Hebrews chapter 11 that I want to use as a bit of a springboard to speak to you from. And I don't want to speak a long time. Can I just say before I start that if any of you would like a leaflet about Emmanuel Press that I made about 18 months ago, I've got a few here. And I've also got a very pretty picture of my wife and her husband. If you'd like to pray for us, if you'd like to commit to pray for us and support us in prayer, that would be great. And let God speak to you. And if God speaks to you about us, a word for us, then you can email us at this email address on there as well. So that'd be absolutely wonderful. We are doing what we feel, what we believe God has called us to do. And although naturally I should be retiring in 6 months' time, 5 months, my wife reminds me, we're leaving that on the shelf for the time being and heading south, 5,600 miles away from here approximately. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. I want to speak about a man called Abraham. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Just that last phrase. He went out not knowing where he was going. It's a strange thing to go somewhere when you don't know where you're going. Now, Abraham's dad, called Terah, lived in the land of the Ur of Chaldees over here somewhere, way beyond the, or between the Tigris and the Euphrates. And God said to Terah, I want you to go to the land that I'm going to show you, the land of the Canaanites, the land of Canaan, which is a long journey, hundreds of miles, right over this way. So he started going, but on his way, he came to a very nice place called Haran. It's rather nice here. Be a great place to holiday. In fact, I'm on a journey. I'm not in a big hurry, so why don't I holiday? And he stopped there. And his family grew there. And then, unfortunately, he died. He was en route to go where God had called him, but he died. And so for years they'd been there. I mean, he was quite an old man. He was over 200. There's no one over 200 here, is there? No. He was over 200 when he died. And Abraham thought, well, okay, make this place my home. It's quite nice. Dad's got everything set up. So they kind of settled down. And then if you read back in Genesis chapter 12, if you just turn back to the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 12, God interrupted the program and the plans that Abraham had for his retirement. And he said, now the Lord said to Abram, Genesis 12 verse 1, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is what I call a mega blessing, like times to the power of 10. That's a big blessing. But he said, leave your family and go. You're allowed to take your wife. And actually, he took his wife and his nephew. Now, the great thing about Abraham and what makes Abraham famous is not what God said to him, but what he did with what God said to him. And what will make you successful and blessed and great in God's eyes is not what God says to you, is what you do with what God says to you. So if God calls you to do something very simple, like give someone a cup of tea, and you say, well, I don't know if I can afford that, or I haven't really got time for that, that does not impress God. God is impressed by when we say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you say. Yes, Lord, whatever you say, Lord, because you are my Lord. One of the greatest things that God delights in is obedience. Because one of the greatest things in God's heart is that he will get to know you and you will get to know him. And did you know something? Relationship has to be two-way. You see, I cannot say I have a great relationship with Prince Philip. I can tell you everything about him. I have a great relationship with him. Or to use Mark's illustration, he has a great relationship with some footballer, and I'm not into sport. So I can't. You mentioned someone like Rooney or whatever. He has a great relationship with Wayne Rooney. But he doesn't. He could tell you a lot about him, maybe. But he doesn't have a great relationship. Relationship has to be, by definition, it's two-way. You can't have a relationship with someone who doesn't know you. It's got to be two-way. And that's what becoming a Christian is. Suddenly, God, who knows everything about me, I get to know him. And I'm brought into relationship with Jesus Christ. He forgives my sin. He gives me his life. He floods me with his grace. He gives me faith to believe him, and I believe in him. And the relationship starts, and it grows. Some people think that if you read the Bible through from cover to cover, once or twice or three times, that's it. You know everything there is to know about God. You could pass an exam. You could get a degree. You could have a PhD in theology. And you know, and that's it. Your relationship is complete. And God answers your prayers. Woohoo. But how many of you know that relationship is something that can grow and grow and grow? It was beautiful to hear a testimony years ago from a couple. They'd been married for about 60 years. So they weren't youngsters. Although I think they were when they got married. Married for 60 years. And he held her hand and he says, our relationship is so much richer today than it was 60 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 40 years ago, or even 30 years ago. See, relationship doesn't depend on physical attraction. Relationship is not dependent on sex. It's not dependent on money in the bank. It's not dependent on what you look like. It's not even dependent on what you feel like, or where you live, or what you own. And the greatest thing in God's heart is that he has relationship with his bride, the church. I would dare suggest that Crawley New Life Church, you haven't got a clue of how much relationship God wants to bring you into yet. He has so much more to bring you into. And the quickest way to do that is when he says, go, go. The quickest way to know someone is to go with them. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And then he said something very interesting, the fellowship of his suffering. There's a whole lot more to this relationship with God than first appears. We have a little picture in the marriage, but we make such a mess of marriage so often that we lose the picture of what God originally intended. See, marriage won't last forever. When I die, that's the end of marriage for me. Because there's something so much better. The most intimate, the most wonderful, the most glorious times in my marriage are nothing compared with the relationship that God wants us as church and him to have. That's why one of the greatest things for this church and in the church across the world is unity. I've said it before, and we teach children to say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is, Father, that they may be one as you and I, Father, are one. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Father, they may know the unity that you, Father, have with me and I have with you. So that I can say, Father, if you want me to go to the earth and die on a cross ignominiously in great pain, that's fine with me. If it's possible, I want to get out of this, but if you say so, I will do that. And Jesus said, I do nothing on my own. I only do what my Father asks me to do. That's relationship. That's unity. And that's why he could walk into all sorts of things. There was nothing that Jesus couldn't do because he had unity. And I promise you, there's nothing that you cannot do if you have great unity with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So Abraham, he came from the Ur to Haran, and he came down into the land of, if you imagine this is a big map behind me, he came from right over here, he's got the Mediterranean Sea over here, and he's coming up from the Ur of Chaldees over this side, and he comes across here to Haran, and he stops there with his dad dies, and then God says, I want you to go into a land I'm going to show you. You've never been there, but you know where I'm talking about, don't you, Abraham? Yep, you're going to Canaan. Okay, off we go. And he travels about 400 or 500 miles right down through the land of Canaan that we know all about, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And he goes down to a place called Shechem. And he doesn't stop there. He just pauses there. And he goes on down to Beersheba, down to the south near the Negev, right near Egypt. And God says, all this land I want to give you. I've got so much to give you. You've just gone through down one little track. But I've got so much to give you. You need to do what I say. You need to hear what I say and do it. Because I will bring you into so much. You see, knowing God is by going. The people in this church who will know God the most will be those who say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you say. I'll do what you say. Whatever you say, however small, however significant, however mundane, however dreary, however exciting, however scary, if you do what I say, I'll bring you into a relationship that's great. See, God could save the whole world tomorrow. God could cause people just to turn to him tomorrow. God doesn't need Peter and Kay to go to South Africa so that he can save people in South Africa. God could do that. There's a bigger plot behind all this. God doesn't need Mark and Rachel together with Ian and Liz to lead Crawley New Life Church, so that because they are the kingpins, they are the ones chosen from all the face of the earth that can make something happen in this place. Don't think so highly of yourself. They're just ordinary, vulnerable people like the rest of us. But God says, I want to show you something. I want you to see something. I want you to see something. I want to show you something about myself that I can't show to everybody, because I want your gaze. I want you to look at me. I want you to see me. And in a sense, God keeps teasing us forward and saying, come on, follow me, follow me. Keep following me, keep following me. Abraham, I want you to come down. I'll be down in Canaan. I want you to follow me in Canaan. Now come with me. You're going to have to trust me. I'm not going to, you haven't been there before. It's a new experience. You're going to have to trust me for everything. For water for your camels. You're going to have to trust me. For clothes for your wife. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me for everything. But I want you to keep, because the greatest thing that God wants is your trust, is your relationship with him. That's the major thing in all of time and eternity. God wants your heart knitted with his heart. It's what we feel most at home. We're most comfortable with what's familiar. You go into a new place, you think, who knows me here? Where do I go? What if I need the loo? How long are we here for? And we're not sure what we should do, how we should do, where we should go, whatever. Just a few days ago, we had to go up to the visa center in London. And I was really nervous about it. And we get to the building, we see the building, we walk up and down, we're just slightly early. We get in there, we have our appointment, we do the appointment, and we come out. And I'm thinking, that was it? That was it? Oh, my word. I was feeling so dazed, I allowed Kay to take me into M&S. Oh, how scary is that? My hand didn't go anywhere near my pocket. We got out unscathed. It was all right. We don't like going into unfamiliar places. It's nice if you're a tourist, you go in and have a good look-see. But we like just, it's good to get home. It's good to go away, but it's good to get home. Ah, home's so nice because it's all predictable. It's all comfortable. It's safe. Safe. We like a safe place. But God says, I want to be your safety. I want you to trust me more than anything. And God is longing for that relationship to take us closer to him.
But we can move away from trusting him to trusting him. We know how to do church in Crawley. We come, we sit on the blue seats, and Ryan leads us, and Angie leads us, and it's just fine, and we watch the screen, and we sit down, we listen to someone. It's all predictable, it's all good. But what if God should upset that? And what if this building wasn't here? Oh, how scary that would be. What if we had to find another place to meet? Or what if too many people came so that we couldn't fit in this building? And what if all sorts of things happened? What if God asked us to do something that we'd never done before? Isn't it interesting that God spoke to a man who was 75 years of age? Put your hand up if you're less than 75 years of age. We haven't started yet. We've got a long way to go. Moses was 80. My Lord. It could be a few of us. Jesus said, look, I have been given authority, so everything's okay. I promised to be with you and never to leave you. I've been given the authority, so now I'm telling you to go. And his disciples went because he had been given authority. We're his, so everything's okay. So bottom line, I know it's all going to be okay because my daddy says, I'm going with you. My daddy's got the checkbook. My daddy's got the roadmap. My daddy's got the car keys. My daddy's got everything I need. It's all sorted. It's all okay. A lot of it I don't know. I'm going to have to discover, but it's going to be a discovery. And I think God wants us as individuals and us as a church to live like that. People have said to us so many times over the last few months, what are you going to be doing in South Africa? What do you expect to do? And I come up with this such dweeby sort of answer, and it's like this, I don't really know. And that sounds so, well, that's a bit, you're moving house. You're going out there for months, possibly years. You don't know what you're going to do. Yeah, but I just know in my heart that God's called us to go. Some of you will kind of accord with that and say, I know what you're talking about. I went out there a couple of times, and the second time was in April last year. And I came home and I said to Kate, you've got to see what I've seen. So we decided to go out again in July of this last year. And Kate said, don't push me because, things are happening and unfolding for us in Cranbrook, in Kent, and it's good. I said, I want to see if you can see what I've seen, what God has shown me. We got as far as Joburg Airport. In case testimony is, I've come home. She'd seen in the spirit what God had shown me that I could see. And we see together that God has called us to be there. Will it be for 5 months? Will it be for 5 years? Will it be for 15? I really don't know. But at this moment, here we go. And God will direct us and lead us. God has called us and we have to obey. You see, if you love someone, you'll want to do what they say. It's a very good test of how much you love someone. Will you do what they say? Well, you can't use that as a kind of yardstick, Peter. You can. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll do what I say. Oh, well, hang about. This Christian life isn't full of a life of commands and rules. And yes, it is, actually. But it all becomes because we want to. Does my wife have to obey? I'll walk on thin ice, shall I? Does my wife have to obey me? No one's going to give me an answer, are they? You're nervous, you see? Well, it depends if she loves me. Let me make it a bit easier or more difficult for you. Do I have to obey her? Ah, you see, we're getting there now, you see? Do I have to obey Jesus? Why? Because I love him. It's that simple. You see, you want to do what the person who's asking you something. See, God could command me and he could transplant me to Africa. Say, there, now get on with it. He could do that. I believe he could do that because God could do anything. He picked up Philip and moved him to Azotus. Boom, just like that. He didn't ask permission. He just did it. God could do that. He said, but you see, God works by love, always by love. And you are a nincompoop, excuse the word, if you don't do what he says and you say you love him. Because God always does it the best. He always has my best interest at heart. Always. That's why Jesus came. Because he had my best interest. You think he did it for a holiday? Just enjoy. Is he a sadist? Is he a masochist? No. Because God is love. So God has your, and whoever you are this morning, wherever you are, wherever you live, whether it's Crawley, whether it's Russia, whether it's South Africa, wherever you live, God always has your best interest at heart. So what he tells us to do is not just, I'm going to make you put your finger in the fire just to see if you really, God's not like that. God is a God of love, God of grace, a God of faithfulness. But the trouble is, we don't always get the picture. You see, Abraham could have said, why should I go to Canaan? It's really cool here in Haran. Everything, I've got everything I want here. But he said, if that's what you say, God, I'll do it. Even to the point, take your son, your only son, your very much loved son, and I want you to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Abraham didn't know that this was a picture of what was going to happen a few thousand years later. He said, God, I trust you that if I have to kill my son, you'd even raise him from the dead to fulfill your word. I trust you that much. You see, he got relationship. He knew God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Then he said, the world will not see me, but you will see me. See, I can tell you, and you'll understand this, those of you who love Jesus, I can see the Lord. With these physical eyes, I can't see him. But in my heart, I can see him. I see him dying for me. I see him loving me. I see him caring for me. I see him guiding me and leading me and providing for me. I see him. And he said, you will see me, and I will manifest myself to those who love me. You see, we've seen him, and we know that God is calling us to go and do what we should do. Our pursuit, ultimately, our goal, ultimately, is knowing him more. And I pray that my greatest prayer is that my faith will increase, that I will see him better, I will see him more clearly. Nothing must stand in our way, not our kids. I somehow think it's slightly harder. I do love my grandkids, but I sometimes think it's harder for grandma than it is for grandpa. But the jury's out on that one. And we shall come home to see them. It'd be hard saying goodbye to my dog. I'm a bit of a dog lover. But do you know, what a ridiculous thing that a dog should get in the way of me doing what God wants me to do. Never, however, I mean, I say this as a kind of, I like pets. Never let anything that's get into your heart closer than Jesus Christ. You'd be a fool, a short-sighted one, to let that happen. May God keep us with pure hearts for him, doing what, because it's all about knowing him. Paul's greatest prayer, that great preacher, that great prophet, that great disciple of Jesus, he said, that I may know him, that I may know him. That's my greatest goal. I want to know him. Not that I might have lots of money, not that I may be a popular people, not that I may have lots of friends and belong to a fabulous church, but that I may know him, that I may know him. So God asked Abraham to go on a journey. God asked Peter and Kay to go on a journey. And finally, I want to say to you, God is asking Crawley New Life Church to go on a journey here in Furnace Green. The call is to go. And what is God asking you to go to or go for? What is it that God's asking you to go? You see, he's always saying go, but what does your go mean? And I want to ask you as a church, I wonder what God is asking. You see, God has given you leaders. What a gracious God. And what no one's mentioned at the moment, which is like the cherry on the cake, they've both got a ridiculous sense of humor. I think God's got a sense of humor. I can prove it. If you come and ask me afterwards, I can prove it to you. God is calling you to go with your leaders and to discover what he has for you in this coming year or two or three. So pray for your leaders. Submit to them because God has a good plan. God's plans always work when we say, yes, Lord. God will lead you into provision, his presence, his power, Matthew 28, verse 20, you know the verse. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. He's always with us. He never says, off you go then. I'm staying here. He always comes with us. In fact, when we get there, we discover, oh, he's here after all. It's a wonderful thing about the goodness of God. God is so much bigger than, so much greater than, so much more loving than we can comprehend. And the more we say yes to him, the more we do what he wants. See, some people say, you know, I'm listening. I can hear whatever God wants to say. And we have in our minds what we want him to say to us. But if we take a moment to just be still, say, Lord, what would you want to say to us? What would we find? See, often God gives us a surprise. They're not bad surprises. But sometimes they are way off the scale. And we thought, wow. And if we do what he says, wonderful things take place. I want to say to you, because I feel such a sureness in my heart, and I always feel it when I stand here, that God has good things for this church. God is going to bring people in and add to people. Our job is to do what he says. What has he said? Love one another. Keep the unity of the Spirit. Keep on loving each other. Think of ways how you can better express your love to someone else in the congregation. How can you as a church better express your love to the rest of the body in Crawley? How can we live better lives that look more like Jesus? God will give us ideas and show us. He says he's calling us to come. It's time to go. And what will be the Crawley New Life Church going? What does it look like? What will it be? It'll be good. So I'm going to just close by praying for you. And that you will have faith and unity to walk into what God is calling you as a church. Can we pray? Our loving Father, we thank you for the whole idea of church. We thank you for your body. We thank you for this family that you've called us into. And I want to pray your blessing of love and unity and faith and desire for you into this body. Thank you again for the leaders that you have called to be here and for others who you will join into the leadership here. I pray for a growing unity, a growing love, a growing daring in Jesus' name. Lord, bless this church family, I pray. Thank you for the heritage that it has. Thank you for the history. But I pray that that will pale into insignificance compared with what you will do. Thank you with you. The best is always yet to be. And we trust you for great days ahead, great chapters, exciting times, wonderful times, times of blessing and times of seeing other people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that many lives will be touched with your love because of what you're doing and because of our obedience to you. Oh God, help us to hear what you're saying and run to say yes and do what you say to bring glory to your holy name. We ask it in the name of Jesus, in your blessing. Amen.